This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back to the KNC Masterpiece. The Redskins are getting demolished in football, just as we all suspected. But right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and jump into some gridiron gravy.
Jump!
Go ahead and jump.
What song was that?
That was beautiful.
Jump.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you remember that song?
That's a Van Halen song.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I know, but I don't remember him putting the little voice wiggle in there and saying, go ahead and jump. Fascinating.
Let's hear you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's your voice wiggle at?
I will not. Guys, I have terrible.
Kevin's voice can't wiggle. Scared.
Terrible news on the injury front. Stiff devastating voice. Injury to Jalen Ramsey.
He's sick, isn't he?
He has the flu, supposedly.
Hold on. Why does nobody believe it?
He said he will not practice today and maybe not all week.
Man, the flu can take it out of you now.
That's true.
Yeah. You ever had the flu?
I mean, yeah, but I just told it to go away, and I fired up. We've established the only thing that can take me down is my weak and shabby vocal cords. But I should also talk them up so they don't backfire on me.
Is that why you don't have any voice wiggle?
That is absolutely accurate. Uh-huh.
Checks out.
Other injury news. Keanu Neal, he suffered an Achilles injury. And then he was given a flag. So that's a tough, that's the insult to injury right there. Mm. Is you hurt your Achilles and then you're flagged on the exact same play. That's a tough break right there.
Do you even care though at that point about the flag? Are you acting like you care?
No. Probably, yeah. Probably not. All right. Let's go to the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns were losing 17-13 to the Rams last night. And one particular bettor was hoping that they could get another score because he took the Browns +3.5 and wagered $500,000 on the game. There was a field goal that had the Browns kicked it, he would have won. But it was the Rams that kicked it, and they won 20-13, and this fella lost $500,000 on that bet.
Idiot.
Ouch.
Yeah. You know, do you want him to, like, already had enough money that he's going to be sad, but he's not going to be, like, homeless and stuff? Or you're like, man, you bet all that. I hope that was all you had.
Oh, yeah. No, I hope he has no money left right now.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Look, we've established that I'm a hate-filled person. What's the problem?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't want people to be poor.
Oh, well, I also find this story hilarious.
He had $500,000, Corey.
Yeah, he's only poor because he squandered it feebly. Let's go to Pete Carroll, who not only did the Seattle Seahawks lose 33-27 in New Orleans, he also got his nose smashed in after taking a football to the face in the pregame. So that's another tough. Well, I don't think it's. I was going to say tough break, but I don't think it's broken.
Did you see Travis took one to the face too?
I just thought it bounced right off his beard. That's like,
okay. Yeah, that's actually kind of what I saw too.
Okay,
it
there
did
you
bounce
go
off his beard.
Let's go to Shaq Barrett. That's right, Shaq Barrett.
Is that because RJ Barrett is bad at making free throws?
No, he's as good at RJ Barrett as at everything. He had 4 sacks against the Giants. He now has 8 sacks through 3 games, which ties him for the most sacks by a player through 3 games since the sacks started being kept as a stat. Now, Colby, think really hard.
Right.
It ties a player from 1984. This is not the best player, but it's a solid player and a player that you might go to if you were throwing out names of random defensive players. It's not Boz.
Okay.
But, like, it's in that general vein of somebody who I think might pop into your brain as a 1980s defensive player.
So what you're trying to do right now is have you go inside my brain and find what I cannot find right now inside my brain.
Correct. And I feel confident that when I tell you, you're going to be like, I could see that.
Okay. Well, then let me see it, because I can't find that file cabinet anywhere.
He ties the record set in 1984 by Mark Gastineau.
Mark Gastineau was in no file cabinets whatsoever anywhere in my brain.
Can you see why I might think that that is a go-to? Okay.
Yes. He's on pace for 40 sacks, isn't he?
Let's see. Actually, he would be on pace for like 42.67 sacks.
Good God.
Which would, of course, essentially double the record.
You can keep this pace up.
I do not.
Who did he play for before? Do you remember what team he was on?
He's been in the league for 6 years. Denver.
Denver. Was Denver the last team that he played for?
Yes.
They refused to pay him $1 million.
Okay. I just want to tell you one thing. In his last 3 years,
right.
He had 8.5 sacks.
Okay.
Total. So in 3 games, he's matched the output of the last 3 years.
With the Bucks.
Yes. As we all would have predicted, the defensive player leading the way is from the Tampa Bay Bucks. But there's a lot of weird things happening in the NFL thus far. I take you to the 49ers game against the Steelers yesterday. The 49ers were victorious 24-20. They were just the second team in the last 5 years, along with the 2016 Broncos, to win a game despite having 5 or more turnovers.
God.
How do you lose a game where you get 5 turnovers?
Well, I mean, ask the Steelers, Kevin.
And the Bears still can't find
somebody. They have Mason Rudolph as their quarterback.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. They're awful. They're in competition. When people throw out like, oh, these teams are the worst in the league, like, don't discount the Steelers and don't discount the Broncos. We'll get to them in a second.
The Steelers, who traded away their first-round pick this year for a quarterback.
I'd get him on the horn right now and offer him a three.
A safety.
I'd offer him a
slash
three
cornerback
for Minka and see if they'd take it. Guys, there are 8 undefeated teams through week 3 for the first time since 1998. Now, one of those undefeated teams is a fake undefeated team because it's the Lions. But they are technically still undefeated at 2-0-1, even though Colby is calling for the job of their coach.
Yeah, he's not still not good.
Now let's go to the Broncos, who are 0-3. They are led by Vic Fangio, who is a defensive mastermind, supposedly, and Von Miller, one of the most accomplished pass rushers in the NFL, which makes the statistic all the more shocking.
What about Bradley Chubb?
No.
He's part of it, too?
He's not getting blamed for this just yet.
Okay.
This is bad. Okay. This is really bad. The 0-3 Broncos are the only team in the last 50 years to have no sacks and no takeaways in the first 3 games of the NFL season.
They haven't sacked anybody?
50 years! Nope! So in case you were like, how did the Broncos get to be 0-3? Feel like that's a pretty solid part of the answer. So, sure, the Dolphins
years?
Are bad. 50 years!
They've had a sack in 50 years. It's just the first time in 50 years that they haven't had a sack or a team hadn't had a sack
for
the first 3 years.
I don't want anybody to say it's just the Broncos. Any NFL team! This is the first time it's happened in 50 years.
50 years?
50 years. Couple more injury notes for you. The Bills defensive tackle Harrison Phillips tore his ACL. He is out for the year. The Colts safety Malik Hooker tore his meniscus, and he's expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Interesting part about that, he came back in and finished the game.
Hold on, with a what?
With a torn meniscus.
How did he do? Well...
And then
we've
he's
seen
like,
that happen before.
All right, now
it hurts.
Now I'm hurt. Also hurting today, well, the Cardinals cut Michael Crabtree.
No.
Now, I would argue.
Say it ain't so,
I
Kevin.
Mean, he did play 3 games and had a robust 4 catches for 22 yards. But I would argue you should probably cut all of the Cardinals' offense yesterday because they were awful. They scored on their first 4 of their first 5 possessions. After that, they had 15 plays on their final 5 possessions. You know how many yards they got?
No.
Minus 12. So that, they finished out the game, 5 possessions, 15 plays, 2 turnovers, and minus 12 yards.
That's backwards. That's... they.
many more yards.
How do you get that many plays and lose that many yards?
That's a good question. Well, it's five series, so that's okay. How. But Kyler Murray had an accurate first part of the quote and then probably should have not said the second part. Or let me try that again. He definitely was wrong about the first part of the quote, and then he said the truthful part. I think we can move the ball regardless.
Of what? Regardless of what, Kyler?
But then he said it just got predictable at the end.
Ooh.
Which, fair enough.
Oh, wow. That is not good, dude.
But also, your team hasn't won a game yet.
Is that waving at your head coach slash offensive coordinator?
Yes.
Hi.
And that's your guy that's supposed to be the, you know, super genius of offenses that couldn't coach at Tech that everybody defended because, hey, he was being out-recruited.
But he's handsome, though.
Yeah.
Except he's not.
He's got stubble.
Yeah.
And he draws plays in his cave.
His man cave of solitude.
Where other men can come draw plays with him.
All right. I'm going to read one more part of the quote, and I'm going to let you decide which part Kyler Murray didn't really say.
Okay. All right.
This is a new segment we always need to have. You saw what we did in the first half. Everything was all there. It was easy. Even though they weren't letting us get behind them for the deep shots, we did whatever we wanted to, pretty much. I mean, we did score a whole 10 points in the first half.
That part right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that is a really
spot
weird...
the lie.
That's a really weird quote. They scored 10 points in the first half. So his notion of how they dominated and did whatever they wanted, they were losing at halftime. So...
Yeah, but they did stuff, man.
They did.
They were doing things.
Man,
stuff.
Kyler Murray can just be kind of grumpy sometimes. So leading into the game, he was going to go up against Kyle Allen, who they both played at A&M before both deciding that they were too highly recruited to stay there. Is Kyle Allen's like, it's crazy that we're like going to play against each other in the NFL. And then he admitted like they weren't the closest at A&M. And then Kyler
There was a lot of chaos going there.
Oh, for sure. And then Kyler was asked the same thing, and he goes, yeah, I don't really care anything about any of that. And I was like, wow, dude.
Because Kyle Allen was in his way the whole time,
I
right?
I mean, he overthrew Kyle Allen and got to be the starter.
Yeah, but it took a while. I mean, he was in his way.
That's
his dad had to come in there and fight for him.
That's, man, that's true.
Very Chris Sims, Major Applewhite.
There is no question about that. And maybe because of that, the Panthers are lying about why Cam Newton is out this week. They've already gone ahead and said Cam is still out because he's hurt.
He's out. Yeah,
we want him at 100% when he's ready, so there's no exact timetable for his return. I'll let you play Spot the Lie one more time. This is Ron Rivera. At this point, we're going to go forward with Kyle as our starter. Because seriously, did you see that game yesterday? Do you think that Cam Newton can still do that? I want to keep my job and keep winning games.
That whole last part sounds like
there's a lot to it, too.
So
that's probably fair. What he did say was, at this point, we're going to go forward with Kyle as our starter, with the idea being that once Cam is not hurt anymore, that he would not necessarily be the starter.
Dude,
but
Cam is their guy. Cam is their guy, and they're going to give him every chance to come back, be healthy, and be the guy.
What's the percentage that Cam Newton no longer plays for the Panthers after he already played his last game?
30%.
I think it's a very low percentage.
That 30% sounds about right.
I think it's about
4%?
4%. Wow. He's back, dude. As soon as he's ready. 0%.
Oh.
Bam.
What do you think are the percent chances that Pat Mahomes will obliterate every NFL record that has ever existed this season?
Honey. 100%.
Okay. So last year, he threw for 5,100 yards. This year, he's on pace 6,373 yards.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
He's also on pace to throw 53 touchdowns with zero interceptions.
I should have just.
That part probably won't happen, right?
I should have just taken him like in the second round of my fantasy draft. And I think that's something that everybody is saying to themselves. That's like guaranteed 35 points every week.
Yeah.
And your quarterback, you know what? Everybody's struggling to find quarterbacks right now. And this dude is just walking out there. He rolls out of bed for 300 yards.
Which made me all the more agitated when I watched the new episode of Ballers, because in this fictitious world, the main characters bought the Chiefs and they're negotiating a contract extension with Pat Mahomes. And they said, we're going to give you just less money than Russell Wilson. I thought, you can't honestly believe that's going to work, right?
Well, it won't work.
And, of course, it led to some contention.
So. He is their offense, dude.
He is all the offense.
Yeah. I mean, when they get the goal line, they're like, all right, are we gonna throw the ball? Or never mind. Just let Pat do his thing.
Exactly. Yes. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, what exactly is happening with the Cowboys at halftime? Because it's kind of awesome. Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Colby Sapp, and Reggie all in studio. And there are some pretty awesome stats about the Cowboys' second half, particularly the third quarter, especially with Dak Prescott's numbers that we're going to dive into. But, you know, we want to try and figure out just what exactly is going on with the Cowboys at halftime. And, Kevin, I do believe I saw a tweet from you yesterday. Lots of people yesterday saying Jason Garrett better light a fire under them, or Jason, something along those lines of Jason Garrett is going to light into them at halftime. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he did say something to them. But there are a couple of pieces of audio,
okay,
that I wanted to play before we get into the really good numbers, because I know them and they're really good.
One of them is insane. Like, you'll hear it and go, hold on, is that right?
Let's hear Jason Garrett, and he's always on with Sean and RJ Monday morning right after the game. Here's what he had to say about halftime.
What was the change in the second half? You know that we're all looking for some great, you know, inspirational speech at halftime that turned everything around. What changed during the half?
Yeah, we just needed to buckle down and just start playing. We had done some good things in the first half, and we just needed to, lock in and play each play, minimize some of the mistakes that we had made, and just go be who we are. And that's something we talk about all the time. Just go be who we are in offense, defense, and in the kicking game. The guys had a great look in their eye at halftime. We just went out and did what we needed to do.
So, very Jason Garrett answer, right? Yeah. You know, it wasn't, look, we had to have a rah-rah speech or anything. We just all understood we needed to do something. On the podium after the game, Tank said we needed to wake the bleep up. So, okay. You know, he was like, we all knew that. And then Ben and Skin had Travis Frederick on today for their weekly show with him. And I thought KT asked a fine question, and you got I think you got some pretty good insight from Travis about halftime.
You guys only get like 11 minutes at halftime. So what's that like? Because there's a lot of people going, man, I bet Jason lit into them yesterday after a sloppy first half. What was halftime like for you guys yesterday? And does Coach even have a chance to have a speech during KT, the 11 minutes?
That's a tremendous question.
Thanks.
We are there's a lot that happens in those 11 minutes. First off, you run in and you have to take care of anything that you need to. So you're rehydrating, you're getting some more fuel, like either like some a lot of people eat bananas or oranges or other fruit or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or anything that can help you get some more fuel for the game.
Apple pie.
Yeah, apple pie with cheese on it.
Take
and
a deuce.
And then for me, like, I change my pants in there. Some guys will change out their whole stuff in that amount of time as well. And that's happening while the coaches are meeting. So first thing when it comes in, or what happens is everybody comes in, the coaches come down from the box and they meet for a minute while we're taking care of that stuff. And then we separate offense, defense, or by position group and go over the adjustments. And then for the last minute or so, Coach Garrett gets a chance to talk, and then we head out. So specifically yesterday, I thought, it really was focused on the adjustments, and it wasn't a big rah-rah thing. I think we all knew where we were, and there was no need to, there was no need for anybody to motivate us anymore. We all knew that we weren't playing as well as we wanted to, and we just went out and did it a little bit better.
Can I just say real quick, I'm really enamored by the idea that there's like a peanut butter sandwich making station, and this guy's like feverishly spreading peanut butter all over the bread and everything.
You don't think that he's already got them made by the time they walk in?
No, there's definitely a station.
Probably more logical, but in my mind, he's like, oh my God, we need 72. I'm not prepared. And like, he's just using both hands, just spreading the peanut butter all over the place.
Huh?
Man, that sounds like a freaky dog situation or something there, doesn't it?
What?
The idea.
It went from the I Love Lucy conveyor belt situation to something that's on like Skinamax late at night.
Yeah. That's how my brain works.
Yeah. The idea, though, that some guys go in there and change their entire uniform. He changes his pants.
Yeah.
So they're all doing something at halftime. They don't go in there and sit there and stare at the floor. And they're all waiting for coach to come in and give them a speech.
And it's dead silent until he walks in there in the always too neat locker room.
Yeah.
Like the locker room is always, it's the same thing that bothers me in movies when someone gets a text and it's the only text on the screen. I'm like, oh, so this is the first conversation you've ever had
before
with this person?
But the other part of it too, though, is you want to feel like a team goes into it and goes, you know, starts talking to each other and gets it all hyped up. But he said, we all knew. We all knew we weren't playing well, and we needed to focus on our adjustments. What were we going to do different? Because what the Dolphins did, and this is something you haven't seen anybody do yet to the Cowboys, the Dolphins did what Brian Flores did to the Rams last year in the Super Bowl. They said, hey, we're going to take away your passing game. Y'all can run. Fine. Y'all want to run? Y'all run the ball. But we're not going to let you throw it all over the field today. We're going to drop seven. And they were. They were dropping seven guys back every time to try to get hands around the football. So it made it tougher for them to be able to accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. So they said, okay, how do we adjust to that? And then I think you saw the adjustments in the second half. That's why you had two 100-yard rushers throughout the day too. So I think you saw those adjustments, and then Dak comes out, and he's firing immediately, and he's finding those places to throw to. And Kevin, that's why you're seeing Dak in the third quarter. They know what they want to do. They know what their plan's going to be whenever they come out in the third quarter.
Now, let's talk specifically about the third quarter, because I guess I didn't realize this, and it's insane. In the third quarter this year, Dak is 22 for 22 for 384 yards.
What?
What is indeed correct?
Hasn't missed a single throw.
He has not. And he's throwing at a pace that would have him averaging 512 yards per game if all the quarters were equal to the third quarter. And he has not had a single incompletion. And it's not like he's 6 for 6. He is 22 for 22. So first of all, that's amazing. But second of all, this is the thing that I think should be most encouraging to everyone. Last year, four quarters in a game. How many quarters do you think that the Cowboys held a point differential advantage in?
This year so far?
Last year.
Last year.
How many? 20?
No. Out of the four quarters,
oh, okay.
As an average.
One.
Okay.
Maybe two.
Okay, which ones do you think?
Fourth.
Okay.
And I was going to go with the first and the fourth.
Okay. Last year, first quarter, plus 52. And that's it. Second quarter, minus. Third quarter, minus. Fourth quarter, minus.
So they were good at scoring in the first quarter?
And if they didn't get out to a lead?
They were screwed.
Exactly. This year, how many quarters do you think they hold an advantage in?
Four.
Okay. Which four? No, I'm just kidding.
Overtime.
I would maybe three.
Okay. And the one that they would not hold the advantage in would be?
The first.
Okay. My argument was I thought maybe they did not hold an advantage in the fourth quarter because they were already kind of easing up off the gas. And in fact, Corey's right, it is all four, but check these numbers out. Fourth quarter is only plus three, which again, makes sense. You have not been in particularly competitive games thus far in the fourth quarter this year. First quarter, this is the only one that I see as like even close to problematic thus far. Plus 7. Second quarter, plus 18. Third quarter, plus 25. And just think about that. That's in three games. So that means in the second quarter, you're close to averaging a touchdown expansion. And in the third quarter, you're averaging a touchdown and a half expansion.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, you think about it from that perspective. In the second and third quarter combined, in three games, you've outscored opponents by 43 points.
Wow. That's impressive, man.
It's really wild, and that's why I said over the weekend, if this Cowboys team figures out how to score a touchdown on the first drive, they're going to be unstoppable because they scored for the first time on the first drive with a field goal. But if you start scoring touchdowns on the – like last year, if you didn't score early and score touchdowns early, you were screwed. But this year, you're already getting the sense that if the Cowboys score early and they score big early – you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to lose. You know, for example, and I know it's in New Orleans and all that, so that might color your opinion of it. But I think you put this team up 14-0 on the Saints, I shut it down. I know it's in New Orleans, but it's over.
Yeah. The other thing, too, Kevin, that I think is such a huge difference, and you've given us the numbers on Dak in the third quarter.
That's insane, right?
But if go back and look, what they would do last year. They didn't adjust.
Yes.
They made no adjustments.
Yeah.
They said, let's just reboot what we did in the first half. So just like the first quarter, we're going to go out there, we're going to run the ball down the throat, and then we're going to run the clock out. And we're going to have, you know, the last drive, Dak will be able to figure something out, either to give us the win or to get us the win or whatever. And this year, they said, you know what? Instead of coming out in the third quarter and trying to establish the run, why don't we come out and try and score and put ourselves up another touchdown? Because that's whenever you start putting games out of reach.
And the thing that I think is really, really awesome.
You crush a team's spirit.
Oh.
Their soul. If you come out and you're already ahead of them, and in the third quarter, you score a touchdown to put yourself up again.
I'm with you 100%. And the thing that I'm most excited about this is your closest quarter is the fourth quarter. How many quarterbacks are better in the fourth quarter than Dak?
None.
I mean, one.
Not a single. Eli?
Nah.
What are you doing?
It was not necessarily me because he's doing the best job holding the clipboard. I've got an amazing Eli stat for you in around the NFC East, by the way. You're going to freaking love it. But yeah, so my point is like your weakest quarter thus far is not really a weak quarter. It's just been a product of who cares. And you have arguably what, a top three fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, and one of those touchdowns. Yeah.
Top five at worst.
Okay, yeah.
One of the touchdowns that was scored in the fourth quarter shouldn't have been. Like, your defense messed up a little bit. That's what happened in that one.
Which, I mean, that's been the story of a couple of them, yeah.
But that's what your offense is doing. And that's never been this team's mindset. That instead of, and that's Kevin. We talked about the closer in like the sixth inning. We've talked about the closer maybe in the seventh inning. They're closing out games in the third quarter by saying, we're not going to even allow you to get back into this game mentally. We are going to take your soul in the third quarter. And then in the fourth, that's whenever we'll just run the ball out. That's when you're supposed to do it. You don't do it in the third quarter. In the third quarter, you make them say, okay, we give. And that's what they're doing by offensively coming out and throwing the ball over the field.
Is this a fair statement? The Cardiac Cowboys have literally had zero games where the game was in doubt in the fourth quarter this year.
Right. Yeah, and yes.
Wild.
Yes, because the opponents aren't good enough, and that's fine. But you're also doing it. That's what's happening.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I know we got to go, but you're so right about that. How many times have you seen this team play against teams that weren't good enough and they weren't running them off the field?
Yeah.
Lots!
Adjustments, man. They make adjustments now.
What a world.
They change.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, tennis player Nick Kyrgios has us wondering, has a hot chick ever distracted you from your job or something really important you needed to do?
Yep.
Yeah, I know, Corey. Next, right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at just, get this, $16,900. Visit them online at mymitsu.com.
Everybody, I know that Josh Norman is being discussed as the biggest piece of toast in the world right now because he keeps getting burnt, but
he did get an interception.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yes.
On the goal line.
Okay, there you go. But
man, he was inspired by your trash talk, Troy Aikman style.
I think the Athletic Kansas City has become an even bigger piece of toast. They tweeted out, in case you missed it, Patrick Mahomes has thrown 36% of Troy Aikman's career touchdowns in about 8% of the games. Troy Aikman then quote tweeted him and said, in case you missed it, talk to me when he has 33% of my Super Bowl titles.
Just fine.
Wow.
That is one thing that I always loved about Michael Irvin is in any discussion, whatever it was, unless it was Terry Bradshaw, he pretty much owned the trump card of, I got three rings.
Yeah.
You all the experience you have, I got three rings. I won three titles. And that's a big time card because Charles Haley can drop it too. I got five. I experienced the best of the best, not just once, but three times.
Right.
And so being able to pull that out, that's a good card to have in your pocket whenever you need to. Yeah, I got three Super Bowls. Bam. All right, Kevin, have you ever been in a situation where you were distracted by a super attractive woman? Because Lord knows I have.
It's called life.
Instagram gets in the way sometimes where you're just kind of scrolling. You're like, what is up? Or we've been to some bars where we have to do shows.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost impossible sometimes to do shows from some of those bars because there's a beautiful lady doing stuff.
I just like pointing it out on air when
that's said that makes it sound so weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that way everybody knows what the reason why I am now switching to talk about this is because this is what I'm seeing.
I mean, hell, for years we had a show on and that was pretty much the only thing that y'all did. Did you see that girl in the dress? Like, that was 2 hours of content.
Oh. Man, it was, well, it was content.
Oh, Arnie?
Yeah.
We did stuff.
Yeah.
And things.
There's a tennis player, though, Kevin, that had a situation.
Nick Kyrgios is one of the most fascinating humans in the world. Like, he's been hit with corruption charges and, like, got fined for trashing the officials and not putting out effort and maybe illegally throwing.
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
He's the guy that they were like, you didn't play hard enough.
And yeah, he was like, exactly. So
he's a talented player, though.
He is. And that's what people are irritated because they don't know why he's not better. And so he lost to Roger Federer over the weekend in the Laver Cup. And as he came off the court, he said, quote, I lost concentration. I saw a really hot chick in the crowd. Like, I'm being jarringly honest. I'd marry her right now. Right now. So, have you ever been distracted to that point where it's thrown you off? I don't think I've been distracted by the sight as much as, like, the fact that I knew somebody was there. Like, I still remember when I was younger, one of the girls I had a crush on was at a basketball game, which simultaneously in the same play included my greatest basketball play ever and my worst. Is I saw someone was about to make this pass. I saw it all the way. I jumped into the passing lane, stole the ball, was already off to the races to the other side of the court, and I was like, yeah, what's up? Julie's going to see this. And then I went for the layup and I missed. Like, there was nobody around and I missed the layup and I was crushed. And they were like, oh, you did so good in the game. And I was like, oh, please. I mean, I didn't say that. I just thought it in my head. So, like, just the idea that she was there really threw me off.
We had a sit. There was a girl that worked here. for a very short period of time. And one day she walked by the window and I saw her and I don't know what happened, but I just like stopped talking.
You did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think we were even working with Lucius that day too. And he was like, whoa, hold on. And so like the whole everything got all broken up and distracted for about a segment. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this again. So that happened to me once. But back in high school, when I started dating Adrian, I would she would say, I'm going to come out to your game after I get done with Pals or whatever. It was Pals is like they help out with stuff. And
that makes sense.
And she would say, I'm going to come out to your baseball game afterwards. And I would be like 2 for 2 with a couple doubles, 3 RBI. You know, I would be having an insane game, a couple stolen bases, just doing all sorts of stuff. Soon as she would get there, my game just fell apart. And I have no clue. It wasn't because I was looking at her. I wasn't even thinking about her. I was just out there on the field. For some reason, her being around always messed up my game. So I told her never to come to games anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And to this day, she doesn't.
What a romantic story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
So, yeah. So, yes, Kevin, the woman that I wanted to marry distracted me from accomplishing my goal.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. That's the on-air story that you tell. I can't wait to hear the off-air.
I always wanted to marry her.
Okay.
Always.
Uh-huh.
I still do. I'm 13 uh-huh. years strong, dude. 13 years.
Woo!
I've suffered from some distracted driving.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because of where you see either the jogger or for some reason she's on the side of the road, something's happened to the car, whatever, but you know, I got to keep going, somebody else is helping her out or she's
You don't
doing
help
fine.
The hot person?
No, what if it's a trap?
Mhm.
Well, like you think they're going to murder you?
Yep, I've seen it happen.
What does that mean?
The show Bosch that I'm watching actually. Okay.
I've watched recently. Documentaries, huh? Kevin.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 48 Hours mysteries exist.
This is true.
Bam. Mm-hmm.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard? You didn't hear these stories, have you?
I guess.
Happens on the highway all the time.
Okay.
The guy's hiding in the trunk, and she's like, yeah, get down there. Look under my hood. See what's going on.
And then the Duke boys take the patrol car, and now the police officer.
These are different stories that we're, like, mixing together.
I mean, mm-hmm. It was that, and I missed out on, like, a whole entire song, my first Metallica concert.
Mm-hmm.
I missed out on a whole song, even though I was like right next to a speaker, because some chick did a handstand on top of a crowd, fully naked.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, really?
I did that, dude.
Oh man, it was insane. They were playing Enter Sandman, and I didn't care. I didn't care.
From the 214, that happened tonight. I almost got whiplash and spilt wine on someone. From the 432, I was mowing my uncle's lawn and wasn't able to finish because of my wife. Or because of his wife. Hold on.
Oh, no. Is that your aunt?
That's your aunt. And she, like, hop out in a towel, and she's like, hey, I need you to come over here and check out my towel. I don't know. I don't know the rest of that story, Kevin.
Did you just make the story?
From the 817, I deliver food, and I pass my stop all the time looking at a hot chick. From the 214, I was distracted for 5 years by a hot chick. Distracted me from a woman I should have married.
Oh, no.
Oh, and then from the 817, I drove a Zamboni at an ice rink. And while staring at this one hot chick, I once clipped the boards.
They could have stopped it, drove a Zamboni. I was very interested.
Oh, my God. That story's amazing.
Well, the 972, the hot chick at work was so distracting, I had to ask her to what became the greatest happy hour ever.
Oh.
And from the 830, I'm constantly distracted by my coworker with the nice butt.
Yeah, you have to be careful about dating a coworker though, because I dated a coworker once and I'm still sad I wasn't there to like kind of hear her run me down, but like it didn't work out, and so nobody knew that we were dating. It was kind of a secret, except for maybe one or two of my friends around the office who were like, "Hold on, is something going on between you two?" And so one of these friends was in the car with this girl after it didn't work out. And
sexually?
No.
Oh.
No. There was a bunch of them. They were going to lunch.
You didn't have sex with her?
Well, that is not the point of the story that we're talking about. And he goes, dude, Christina went off on you in the car. And I was like, what?
I'm assuming that's a pseudonym.
Yes.
Is this a girl I know?
Because
you just said her name.
All right, look. How about somebody else talk? I might not have thought that part through.
I've always thought that if you were like a car salesman, you could have better situations where you see the hot chick and you can go talk to her and you can say stuff like, "Hey, come over here. Let me show you my probe." And then like, "Y'all get down there. Look at the tires on the probe." You know, because that's a car, Colby. Uh-huh. A Probe GT is a Ford.
Thank you, Corey.
It is. Really.
Well, the whole point of that story, without getting back into the names, is he goes, "Man, she really ran you down." And she was like, "Don't ever date somebody that you work with in the car." And he goes, "Nobody else knew who she was talking about, but I knew exactly. She was talking about you." And he was so pleased about that.
Now, if you're a truck salesman, you can try all your pickup lines.
Oh, yeah.
You like using those mud flaps or I don't know.
A truck it's a pickup truck, Kevin. Pickup.
Oh, that makes more sense.
From the 817, I was there when the Zamboni driver crashed, got distracted and crashed because of the hot chicken.
What? Yeah. See, I don't know if this will work either. From the 972, you don't date the coworker, you just plow them. Although, to be fair, we've seen that play out.
Yep.
Around here before.
What? Have we? Are you serious? Oh, I have never witnessed that.
I can tell you at least two different scenarios.
In this studio?
Nah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to rule anything out.
Actually, that's happened in this studio.
Really?
That window.
Okay, well, nobody knows where you're pointing.
In that window.
And what? Yeah. Why are people having sex all around the windows in this studio?
The whole station wasn't completely set up yet, but... Yeah, in this room.
So there's still construction?
Maybe after was it Sausage Fest?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I'm not quite sure.
I mean, it feels like you're pretty sure if you're giving me a vague date this so-called thing happens.
Wait, was it a Sausage Fest in this room?
Nope.
Okay.
But there was a festival.
Hold on, what?
That means more than one person.
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I said it correctly.
I just assume.
Coming up next, we get to the bottom of this, just like someone apparently did in this studio. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Around the NFC East with the most savage burn in the history of ever. Next, right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.